This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Evidence for the Resurrection, was delivered on April 17th, 2022. Here now is Pastor Scott.
The leadership that you've put in charge here, that they manage it and use it well, all for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy, mighty name. And all God's people say,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wald. Wow. How was that? That was just all God. I mean, all God. We cannot take any credit for it. But the power went out. It was like, okay, well, we're not going to let it stop us, right? And right when they finished worship, bing! It's like, I mean, seriously, can it had be scripted any more perfect than that? That God would, I mean, do that. And that's the second time it happened to me. It happened once up at the big church. Power was out, and right before we went up, bing! Power went on, and it's like, you kind of step back at those moments and you look up at God and say, wow, God, you just showing off, man, now. And sometimes we get amazed when, why should we be amazed? Because that's God, right? Yeah, and like I said, I am in pain, but you know what? Every time, you know, when I was trying to sleep the last few nights, and every time the pain would just come, and I turn off the fan, take off the blankets, because anything touching my skin, it hurts. So I'm being lying there, and my poor wife got to hear me moan and groan all night long. And I was surprised that she didn't get up and go in another room. But every time I felt the pain, I just thought about Jesus on the cross, suffering for me. And I thought, like, what do I have to complain about? Absolutely nothing, right? Yeah. Yeah, so hey, happy Resurrection Sunday. Man, it is good to see all my friends, all my family come back to gather, to worship, and to hear. Christmas, Easter, two greatest events in history and in the life of every believer. Why is that? Because for one thing, if Christmas never happened and Christ was never born, then Easter would never happen and the resurrection wouldn't have happened. And then we would have no hope. Hey, all right, so we are live now. We got everything back up and running. So we are live on Facebook. For those of you who are out there, thank God that we got power, and thank God we got hooked up. So, we all of us, you and I, we all put our hope in something, right? Some of us put our hope in our bank account. Some of us can't because we have no bank account. Yeah, you can relate to that. On my bank account, guess where it went? In my gas tank, right? We hear the big diesel truck startup. Oh, $5 gone. Yeah. And people make fun of all these things about taking out. I finally got approved for a loan to put in gas. And they make fun about it, but that's true. We put our hope in our bank account. Some put their hope in the stock market. Thank God I don't know how to do that, or else I probably, it's like legalized gambling, right? You gamble, you put your money in the stock, hope it goes up. Others, how many of you ever put your hope in your spouse? Yeah, like, yeah. Some of us, we try to live our spiritual life through our spouse. Some of us put their hope in our cars or houses. Some of us put our hope in religious leaders. But we need to not do that. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Old Testament, people were cutting down trees, chiseling them away, and making things, and it's like, they would put their hope in that stuff that they made with their hand. Some of them would put their hope in stuff that they molded with silver and gold. I mean, think about it. Seriously, when your child got sick, would you pray to a wooden thing that you made with your hands? Sounds pretty stupid, right? But they did that. They did. They put their hope in things that they made. But here is what I believe. This is what the scriptures tell us to put our hope in. And in your bulletin, number one, Jesus Christ. That's where we need to put our hope. In 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, if Jesus went to the cross, he died, and they buried him, and he stayed buried, then we would still have no hope. But he did not stay buried. In Matthew 16:21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. So he's telling his disciples what is going to happen. The phrase "from then on" marks kind of like a turning point. And in Matthew 4:17, it signaled the announcement of the kingdom of heaven. Here he pointed to a new emphasis on his death and his resurrection. And the disciples still didn't grasp Jesus' real, true purpose for coming. I think they still thought, like, man, this is the guy. This is the guy who's going to wipe out the Roman rule and be like the guy who rules. But they had their own ideas, but they were stuck there. In Matthew 17:22-23, again, he says, and while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he'll be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. Once again, Jesus predicted his death, and he told of his resurrection. But the disciples, they only heard the first part. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. How many of you men have selective hearing? Yeah? Dinner is ready. Oh, I hear you. The trash needs to be taken out. What was that? The disciples had that, man, so don't worry. Don't be alarmed. They had the same problem as we do. We just need to take that medicine, right? The marriage class people, hear it all. Yeah? Hear it all. We just need to take that medicine. Because, yeah, we do have selective hearing. But fear not, because the disciples had that same thing. So once again, Jesus predicted his death. But more important, he told them of his resurrection. But unfortunately, they only heard the first part. Then again in Matthew 20, behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered into the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he'll be raised up. So Jesus predicts his death and resurrection for the third time. But the disciples still didn't accept and believe what he meant. And they went, what did they do instead? They argued about positions in the kingdom. Hello. So here it is. Here it is. Evidence of Jesus' resurrection. I'll give you evidence, scriptural evidence of his resurrection, so that you would have the boldness and the faith to tell your friends, the God that I worship is alive. He's not still in the ground or in the tomb. He has risen from the grave. So in Matthew 28, 1-7, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which I probably think it's Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. That's a big deal, because from the pictures I get, the stone, like a round stone, and there was like a trough, and it rolled into that trough. There's no way you can roll it, lift it up. You got to kind of roll it out of that trough. So it was a big deal that the angel did it, because no way Mary and Mary could have done it on their own. And I would bet even the strongest man in this church, I don't think you guys could have done it either. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He is not here." It's like he was trying to tell you that all along. "For he has risen, just as he said." How many of you know that whatever Jesus said comes to? And we can trust that if he says something, we can believe it? Then they said, "Come see the place where he was lying." Nothing there. Now the angel said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Now that's like the first thing. Okay. In Acts 1:3. "To these," this is Luke now. It's almost like a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. This is Acts, which is like Actions of the Apostles. "To these, he also presented himself alive." So, himself in capital letters, referring to who? Jesus. He himself, he presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. So after his resurrection, he met the disciples and he presented himself alive. Proof of his resurrection. Luke says that the disciples were eyewitnesses to all that happened to Jesus Christ. His life before his crucifixion and the 40 days after his resurrection. He taught them more about the kingdom of God. And you know what? Today, people still doubt Jesus' resurrection. But Jesus appeared to the disciples on many occasions after his resurrection, proving to them, to you, to me, that he was alive. Now consider the change the resurrection made in the disciples' lives. At the crucifixion and his death, man, it was like you turn on the lights and all the cockroaches just dig out. right? You ever go in the kitchen in the middle of the night to get a drink, and you turn on the light like, woo, I got a roach problem here. And think about the disciples. When Jesus got crucified, whoa, where they went? They were scattered, disillusioned, fearing for their lives. And after seeing the resurrection of the resurrected Christ, man, you read Acts, especially Peter. He became fearless. And they risked everything to spread the good news about him around the world. They were being put in prison. They were being beaten up. They were having rocks thrown at them, if you know what I mean. I would say the word, but we're in Pune. You might take it the wrong way. Come on, guys. They were rejected. They were martyred. I mean, they never complained. How many of you read Fox's Books of Martyrs? Anybody out there? Seriously, you guys should pick it up. I read the first couple chapters and I was like, oh my gosh. So seriously, for being known as followers of the way of Jesus Christ, like John, the guy who wrote the book of Revelation, he's like the only guy who died of old age. You know why though? He survived boiling oil poured on him. Some guys got burned. Some guys got like wire, red hot wire, and they were dragged on top of their backs or they were dragged over it. And they never wavered. I mean, think about it. They risk all that for Jesus. Now, if you think if Jesus was a fraud, they would risk death for a lie? No, I would say no, that's not true. I would run. But they never did. They believed what they saw about Jesus, the teaching, even to death. Their lives stood for something that they knew was true. They knew Jesus was alive, and the early church was like fired up with enthusiasm to tell others. And you and I, we need to know this. We need to know this so that we can have that confidence in our testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. 20 centuries later, we can still be confident that our faith in Jesus Christ is based on facts that happened. And then we have the faith too. In 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some has fallen asleep. So believe, there will always be people who will say that Jesus did not rise from the dead. And Paul assures us that many people saw Jesus after the resurrection. Peter, the 12 apostles, more than 500 Christian believers. Most of them were alive back then when Paul wrote this, although they say some had died. James, you know, Jesus' half-brother, the apostles, finally, Paul, the resurrection is a historical fact. And don't be discouraged by doubters who deny the resurrection. So in the heritage, number two, will you put your future in the hands of Jesus? Would you trust him with your life? With all this evidence about Jesus' birth, life, death, crucifixion, resurrection, burial, and resurrection. What more evidence do you need to put your faith in Christ? Man, that light coming on at the right time. Well, what more did you need? I mean, after the light went on, we could have just said, amen, you guys can go home. Ephesians 2, famous scripture, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. We become Christians through God's unmerited favor, grace. Unmerited favor, not as a result of what we can do, but by faith, ability, intelligence, or choice. It's like, okay, God, I believe all these things, and by faith, I am going to ask you to be my Lord and Savior. In John 14:6, another famous scripture, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Other people think like, oh, I can get to heaven other ways. No, not according to what is written in the scripture. In Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Some people, when they tell them there's no other way but through Jesus, they react negatively to the fact that there is no other name than the name of Jesus to call on for salvation. This is not something that I've decided, the church decided. It is the specific teaching of Jesus Christ himself. John wrote that in John 14:6. It is, if God designated Jesus to be the one and only Savior of the world, which he did, no one else can be his equal. Remember Satan? He tried. I want to be like God. I want to be higher than him. Boom, kick you out of heaven. You know, sometimes they say, oh, you got to be more open-minded. Yeah, we can be open-minded about other things. But on the doctrine of Jesus was born, he was punished and tortured, he was crucified, he died on the cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. We're not going to waver. Sorry, but I'm not going to move on that. That is fact. And I'm not going to sway to the left or to the right. It is written. Some people, oh, but, no buts. That is fact. Our focus should be on Jesus, whom God provided as the way to have eternal life, eternal relationship with him. There is simply no other way. Amen? Amen. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's like a great, great day. If you have already put your hope in Jesus, then you know how great and important this day is. But as great and as important it is, you and I cannot keep it to ourselves. We need to use this time, as the world calls it Easter, to share the real meaning of this day. For this day, Jesus beat death. Satan's plans were crushed as Jesus rose from the dead. Because of this, you and I can have a living hope for eternity. Because of what he had done, man, you and I, we have the hope for everybody out there who is hurting, everybody out there who is contemplating suicide, everybody out there who is at the end of the rope, including you guys on Facebook. Jesus Christ is the answer. We have the hope for people who are dying with cancer. We have the hope for people who are suffering with shingles. Seriously. Because think of what Jesus did for you. He suffered. He bled. So when I think about the pain, I can smile. I can laugh. Because what? My joy comes from my relationship with God. So stuff happened here on earth, yeah. It's sore, it's tragic, but don't worry. Because our lives here are so short. We're going to be in heaven sooner. And it's just for a little while. Amen? So I wouldn't be surprised as soon as we finish this service that the power goes out again. I mean, seriously, that's how God sometimes is like, hey, you see, I got this. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we're going to pray. I'm going to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And for those of you, I know we got so many new faces here. And if any of you never, ever ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this chance to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And take it seriously, because we here at New Hope Easter Way want to help you grow in your relationship with God. So don't just raise your hand and dig out. Raise your hand, stick around, talk stories, ask questions, grab a Bible, grab a plan to read the Bible, and hook up with our Bible studies. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold a hand up? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? No shame now. No shame. Anybody else? God bless you over there. Anybody else? You may put your hands up. Lord, you have seen the hands. You have seen the hearts. And even if they didn't raise their hands, you know that their decision. You know what they said in their hearts. So, Lord, I pray that they would not be shy about telling us that they received Jesus. That they would go grab a Bible if they need one. Grab a reading plan if they need one. If they need a journal, Lord, let us give them one. Anything to help them with their walk. Anything that would help them not doubt that Jesus died for them. We thank you for this day that we celebrate what you did, what you accomplished on the cross. That you suffered, you died, you buried. And that Sunday morning when they went to the tomb, you were gone, you were risen. And that you appeared 40 days after. You continue to appear to teach to over 500 people. Written documentation of your resurrection. So we thank you for that. We can put our hope in that. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Would you stand as we, oh, now we get voices. Yeah. Woo, God is good.
Thank you, Pastor. I want to sing, Lord, I lift your name on high.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.